Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from The Athletic, covering the Ohio State Buckeyes in the NCAA tournament, Bill Landis is with us. Bill, how you doing? Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, day two of the tourney, and of course, day one for Ohio State. Game in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Probably about 10 o'clock, you know, our times here in Cleveland. But let me ask you this, Bill. As the Buckeyes go into this 19-14, obviously a losing record in the conference, and a lot of people felt like they didn't belong, how do you think the team feels? Do they believe in themselves? At least publicly, I'm sure. But what do you think, down deep? Do they believe they can make any kind of run in this tournament? Or is there a sense that they're just lucky to be here?
Yeah, I was in the locker room yesterday talking with those guys, and they're obviously very confident in themselves. They're happy to be here. One, I think they feel they deserve to be here, particularly because of their non-conference body of work. And you know, they won a game against Iowa in the Big Ten that was a good win for them. And Big Ten was deep as a whole, and they felt like they held their own for the most part. I know some people would disagree with that, but they don't feel like they stole a spot here. They feel like they deserve to be here. They feel like they have the makeup, particularly defensively, to win a game or two here. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but certainly they have to feel that way. And they're not coming into this looking at Iowa State, which won the Big 12 tournament, and seeing some, you know, big bad team they can't beat. It's a 6-11 game. It's not a, you know, it's not a 2-14 or 2-15 game or something like that. I don't think on paper Ohio State matches up particularly well with Ohio State, but we all know that. What the matchup looks like on paper this time of year certainly sometimes doesn't matter at all. So Ohio State's confident that they're happy to be here, feel like they deserve it, and aren't going to come into this, you know, thinking they're going to get rolled over by Iowa State.
Bill, the Buckeyes have been tested this year, no question about it. I think they've got like 10 games against teams that are either in the AP top 25 or teams that have gotten votes for it. What do the Buckeyes have to do tonight to come away with a win?
I think the biggest key would be trying to limit Iowa State in transition. They are really good about turning your misses and your mistakes into quick, easy offense. They have at least four and sometimes five guys on the floor at a time, and either any of them are a threat to grab the ball at the rim and go down the floor and three dribbles and beat you to the rim and score. They're a really fast, really athletic team. Ohio State is not that. I think anyone who's watched Ohio State knows that. So Ohio State has to find ways to limit those opportunities and try as much as they can to make Iowa State play in the half court. That's still not an easy task because there are a lot of guys on Iowa State who can still beat you off the dribble and create their own offense. There's a couple pros on this roster. I don't know if Ohio State has any pros, but Ohio State's only chance, I think, is to make sure that the game doesn't become a track meet and try to rely on the thing that's been most consistent for Ohio State this year, and that is it's fairly efficient half-court defense.
We're talking with Bill Landis of The Athletic about the Buckeyes and their tournament game tonight, scheduled for 9:50 Eastern time. You know, you just mentioned that there's no real, you know, NBA players on this team. They don't have that one dominant scoring threat. Caleb Wesson obviously has been their leading scorer. He missed some time towards the end of the season. How much of a difference has it been having him back in the lineup and ready to go for the tourney?
Well, it's huge. I think you saw it when he came back against Indiana in their first game of the Big Ten tournament. That was some of the best basketball Ohio State had played all year. Indiana is talented, but hasn't really played all that well this year. But the second time Ohio State beat them, but you can just see the space one that Caleb creates on the offensive end. He's certainly a threat to score on his own, but he just opens everything up for Ohio State's perimeter players. And they have some guys who are inconsistent shooters, but certainly a few who are capable of getting hot. And then on defense, he's not a shot blocker, but he's 6'9", 270 pounds, and that's a big body you have to go around, and that can deter some drivers. I don't think it's going to deter Iowa State. They're really aggressive about trying to get to the rim, and we all know Caleb is prone to foul trouble, so I'm on alert for that to make sure he's not putting himself in bad positions when Iowa State's attacking. But he's the linchpin for everything Ohio State does. He's a sophomore, and I'm not quite sure he's been ready to handle all that this year, but it's sort of the hand Chris Holtmann was dealt with this roster. And there have been times when Ohio State's looked really good and times where they've looked just terrible without him. So he's the most important player, no doubt.
When you look at the Cyclones from afar, Bill, they seem like a pretty balanced team. They got four players that average in double figures per game scoring. If you're the Buckeyes, what do you do to try and slow that down when you're facing a team that's as balanced as Iowa State is?
Yeah, it's hard because I don't think Ohio State has the pieces to sort of match up with it. I think two guys you look at are Musa Diallo, the sophomore wing, and Andre Weston, the junior wing. Those are like sort of their two most versatile and athletic defenders. And then after that, there's a pretty steep drop-off. So I think you probably throw those two guys at someone like Mariel Shayok, who is the second leading scorer in the Big 12, and maybe put the other guy on Talen Horton Tucker, who's kind of a bully of a freshman forward who Ohio State recruited pretty heavily, who's a good big scoring transition guy and really can throw his weight around. So I think if you put Diallo and Andre Weston on those two and try to neutralize them as much as you can, and then hope that, you know, C.J. Jackson and Keyshawn Woods can sort of hold their own as much as they can against the other guards that Iowa State throws at you, I think that's the plan. I don't know how sustainable that is over 40 minutes.
Bill, how would you know, since Chris Holtmann's taken over as the head coach of the Buckeyes, where would you say, like, they are as a program as opposed to maybe where you thought they would be at this point, either good or bad?
I think they're probably still a little ahead of schedule. Last year was much better than anybody thought it would be. I didn't think they'd be terrible last year, but certainly I didn't think they'd be flirting with the Big Ten championship. So that gave them a lot of momentum. This year has obviously been up and down, but I do really think that in a lot of ways they maximize the talent that was available to them. If you look at this roster, I don't know if you look at a lot of guys and say, like, yeah, that guy is a no doubt about a Big Ten starter. And I'm not saying that to slight the guys. It's just it's what happened. It's what happened with Thad Matta's poor recruiting at the end of his tenure. The roster is thin. And with that, they took a team, they won 8 Big Ten games or an NCAA tournament. I think you can make an argument that they did a better job coaching this year than they did last year. And now they have this recruiting class coming in that's number 11 in the country, I believe. It's got 3 top 50 players. They might add another guy. They're looking at some high-level grad transfers. So it was a weird time for a transition, and I thought that my initial reaction was there could be some lean years ahead as Chris Holtmann tries to build the program. And instead, they've gone to the tournament 2 years in a row. So I think even with how sort of wonky this year has been, they're still ahead of schedule.
Bill, of course, Ohio State not the only game being played in Tulsa. Who do you think is going to come? Who do you think are the two teams that are going to come out of Tulsa?
That's a good question. I have Iowa State coming out of the Midwest games here. I have Iowa State in the Sweet 16, and then you have Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky, Buffalo, and Arizona State playing in the other sort of pot of games here. I believe that's the West region. I like Buffalo in that group. I'm not going to pretend like I'm a national college basketball expert, but I just remember I was in Boise last year with Ohio State, and Buffalo was there, and that team was just so physical and so aggressive. And I think teams that sort of impose their will like that this time of year have a chance of going farther than others. And potential Texas Tech versus Buffalo matchup here on Sunday could be a real slugfest. So, but I would pick Buffalo in that. I like Nate Oates. I think he's a good coach. He's obviously a rising star. So I like Buffalo and Iowa State to come out of here.
In terms of the Big Ten, Bill, you know, obviously Purdue won yesterday, Michigan State, Minnesota. Who do you know, of all those, and I know obviously Michigan and Michigan State, probably the best chance, but who do you like the most in the Big Ten to make the deep run?
I like Michigan. I have Michigan in the Final Four. It's kind of strange. I think there's an argument to be made that Michigan, when it's playing at its best, with all things being equal, everyone playing at their best, I think Michigan might be the best team in the Big Ten. I know they lost to Michigan State 3 times, but I think the sum of Michigan's pieces is a little better than Michigan State's, and Tom Izzo is just a great coach and won 3 battles with John Beilein. But Beilein's a great tournament coach. We've seen that. And I like Michigan's draw more than I like Michigan State's. I have a hard time seeing Michigan State beat Duke in a potential Elite Eight game. And so I have Michigan State going the farthest. I actually was surprised yesterday. I think the only other Big Ten team I picked to win the first round game was Purdue, I did not have much faith in the Big Ten. I thought it was a deep league, but kind of a team that was deep with sort of average teams. So it was a good day for the Big Ten yesterday to go 5-0. We'll see what happens today, but in the end, I think it's Michigan and Michigan State that have the best chance, and Michigan I have in the Final Four.
What did you think of that, the incident with Tom Izzo and the player, and he kind of poked him or grabbed him, put his finger in his face? What, you know, we've seen Tom Izzo be very feisty before. What did you think of that situation?
Yeah, I didn't think much of it, to be honest. I've covered enough games with Tom Izzo coaching to know that that's sort of how he is. And if you're fundamentally opposed to that on any level, then I guess I can see the outrage. But I think if you're a kid who's going to play for Michigan State, you know what you're signing up for. Your parents know what you're signing up for. And certainly the optics of it aren't great, but I don't know, maybe you shouldn't give a guy like Tom Izzo a free pass or something like that, but I didn't think anything of it. I thought that was sort of normal Tom Izzo fiery in the moment behavior that we've seen before.
How is the recruiting classes like coming up? Like could Buckeyes, are there guys to be excited about in the future here with Ohio State?
Yeah, for sure. The 2019 class on paper anyway is the best class, like ratings-wise, since the Odin and Conley class.
Nice.
The Sullinger class is obviously good too, but this guy, they have three players who are all top 50, a point guard and DJ Carton from Iowa, who's super athletic, super fast, can create, can get his own shot, can help set other guys up. They haven't had a player like that since D'Angelo Russell. EJ Liddell is a very versatile, athletic forward who probably maybe played two forward positions, but he's a long, he's 6'7", he's a shot blocker. He's a pretty good dunker. He's just an athlete that Ohio State doesn't have right now at the forward position. And then the other guy who might be the most intriguing of the group is Alonzo Gaffney, a kid from Cleveland who played at VASJ, and then he played at Garfield Heights before he went to play prep school in New Hampshire. And he's got a pro body. He is 6'9". He's very long. He needs to bulk up a little bit, probably get over 200 pounds before you consider him a pro, but he just has the look of these long, rangy forwards who get drafted early into the NBA, even guys who don't have great college production. He's got the longest way to go in terms of development, I think, but if he can reach his potential, he's a no doubt about a nice pro. So they have three guys coming in who are going to seriously increase the athletic ability of this team and just the overall talent and give them some guys who can create their own shots.
Regardless of the outcome tonight, Buckeyes getting into the tournament, is it fair to say maybe they're a smidge ahead of schedule?
Ohio State, yeah, for sure. I think so. I think if you're an Ohio State fan, you should be encouraged by what's happened this year. I know it wasn't always fun to watch, and it's not a particularly interesting team, but the fact that they got here, even though they're an 11 seed, and certainly there are people who will be detractors and say they don't deserve to be here, it doesn't matter. They got here, and I think that's important for program momentum, and it certainly was something that was not a guarantee when they made that coaching change in June from Thad Matta to Chris Holtman to have back-to-back tournament appearances. So I think the program's in a really good spot, and I think Chris Holtman is probably a top 20-ish coach across the country, and you should feel pretty fortunate, I think, as an Ohio State fan to get a coach of that caliber, especially making the change at the time they did.
Bill, excellent insight, man. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.